You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrer.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. The State Department of Public Instruction has submitted its funding request for the upcoming state budget. We'll talk to Wisconsin Superintendent Tony Evers.
First, with a new presidential administration in the works, we're kicking off an occasional series on leadership. On Monday, we'll hear from the author of the book, Why Presidents Fail, with some advice for the new administration on how not to fail.
Now, our guest says we need to rethink what it means to be a leader, not just in politics, but throughout society. Instead of thinking of the leader as the boss, as the center of power, the top of the pyramid, he says leaders should first and foremost think of themselves as servants.
Tom Thibodeau joins us now. He's Distinguished Professor of Servant Leadership at Viterbo University in La Crosse. He's been there for 30 years. He founded the nation's only master's program in servant leadership. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob and Veronica, for having me.
Well, we've just been through this divisive election and post-election season. Emotions are raw for a lot of people. Do we need a change in style from political leaders and other leaders?
Well, I think that we're all seeing that there's a need for change. Robert Greenleaf in 1970, when he was the vice president of AT&T Corporation, coined the phrase servant as leader because he saw that the most effective people in AT&T at that time, the largest corporation in the world, were those people who served the people that were entrusted to their care. And I think that to reclaim that as an honorable way in which to serve, and we also know from research that it's very effective.
Talk about what servant leadership is a little more. What does it look like?
Well, servant leadership, if I'm a servant leader, I go to an organization, institution, whatever I'm committed to each and every day to serve other people, to be concerned about their growth and development as persons. What is it that I can do so that they can do their best work for our greater good? To inspire and influence everybody each day for a greater good would be a simple definition of servant leadership, and we see that happening each and every day. And so we've been through a divisive election, yet the government has not collapsed. Why? Because we have faithful public servants who are there today doing the work of clerk of courts. We have our police and firefighters. We have public school teachers. We have public health nurses. All of these people are public servants, continue to work for the greater good each and every day on our behalf. All of our lives are predicated in the service of other people, and that's what really leadership is.
When we think of leaders, though, a lot of times, and whether we're talking politics or business or sports, the military, you name it, we might think about people driven in part by ego, a desire to command or have power. How do you move from that to this idea of the leadership as not that, as the servant?
Well, one of the interesting things is that command and control just doesn't work anymore. You can give people titles, you can give people positions of authority, but people choose who they will follow. And generally, who do we choose to follow? We choose those people who believe are willing to serve. To serve in the best interest of ourselves, and I hope that in our democracy, the best interest of our country. And so what happens is it's an internal change. That one sees this great desire that I need to serve other people. Howard Schultz was on CBS News this morning a couple of weeks ago, and he said what the nation needs now is more servant leaders. And what they're doing at Starbucks is paying attention to ordinary people who are doing good work every day on behalf of the common good, and they're capturing these stories and putting them on YouTube to say there is another way.
We're talking to Tom Thibodeau from Viterbo University. He started a master's program there in servant leadership, and he's promoting that idea, something we need in society to change the way we think of our leaders, not as the big boss from whom power and orders flow, but as someone who serves their staff, their organization, the people in their community. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234 if you have experience with servant leadership. We would love to hear from you. Tom, on a practical level, how can we put this into practice? We go to work, whether we're the big boss at an organization or just someone who is providing leadership in some other way, what are the first things we need to do?
One of the things that's really amazing is just to pay attention. Whatever the leader pays attention to, that's what you get more of. So what happens, how do we help to pay attention in our organizations, in our communities, in our politics? Is in terms of our conversations, the ways in which we talk to and with each other. We shape our organizations, we shape our institutions, we shape our lives by our conversations. Conversations come from the Latin word conversatio, which means to turn towards each other.
What's the opposite of that? Aversion, to turn away from each other. And what's really significant about being a servant leader, you must have the courage to talk with people who disagree with you.
And
that's where the strength of an organization is that we come to a level of consensus by listening to each other and moving past our differences for a common good.
That seems tricky these days, especially in the political world. To the extent we communicate with people who disagree with us, it seems like we talk at or yell at them. How do we get from that to a productive conversation where we can find common ground and ways forward?
Well, one of the things, Rob, is it's interesting. If it was easy, more people would be doing it. There are no shortcuts. Everything that's difficult takes courage, sacrifice, virtue. And that's what happens in terms of a servant leader, is that over time you develop a level of virtue or strength in which you can engage in these kind of conversations for a greater good. It's a give and take. Think about in terms of Dr. Martin Luther King. He was willing with his words to proclaim a point that he never saw. And yet we have experienced a part of his dream being revealed to us today. So I think this is the nature of leadership, is the power of our language, and to be conscious of how our words affect the lives of other people.
And you also, one of the other ideas of servant leadership is promoting a sense, a feeling of community. And whether that's in your coffee shop or chain of coffee shops or in your country, if you're a national leader, what are the steps toward promoting that sense of community as a servant leader?
Well, a great understanding of community is hospitality. Now, here we are talking to an audience in Wisconsin, and what's really interesting is all of us pretty much grew up with the same mother. And what did our mothers all teach us? Hospitality. All of our mothers had a little extra on the table in case somebody dropped by, and they were welcome. How is it that we create these environments where people feel welcome? And that's where community starts. Creating those levels of safety and hospitality. I just traveled this weekend, met thousands of people in airports, airline, flight attendants, people working at the airlines. Everyone was so pleasant. Get up on a plane filled with strangers. Nobody pushed their way past anyone else. But why is that? Because we had a wonderful sense of hospitality, making space for the guest in our lives. That's what happens in levels of community. Who are we making space for? And then asking ourselves when we sit down at the table, who's at the table and who's not? How is it that we stand shoulder to shoulder and then broaden the circle? So this is a constant work and process, but it's noble because we see what happens when communities come together for a greater good. One of the examples that I use is how many people this last year have bought a ticket for a raffle, a benefit, because somebody had cancer, their barn burned down. And people in the room will all raise their hand. And I said, well, is it only the family who benefits from the whole community coming together? No, the whole community comes together. Benefit comes, again, to Latin words, bene facere, means to do good together. And that's what a community does. It does good together.
But do you worry, Tom? I mean, we've got a society where we're joining organizations less often than we used to. We're publicly participating less. We're not bowling together as much, as a famous book noted. More and more of our entertainment and activities are at home, isolated from everyone else. If we're communicating, it's on a computer where we don't have a human face on the other end of it. How do we get past that to bring back more of that sense of community?
Well, what's really amazing is that we're seeing, in terms of small communities in the state of Wisconsin, what's everybody doing? They're rediscovering in terms of their cultural roots and celebrations, and reaching out and trying to bring people together. And so it's kind of paradoxical. We're not experiencing community and yet have a great hunger for community. We want to be part of a common good. We want to be part of a good greater than ourselves. I'll give you an example. This next Thursday on Thanksgiving, 5,000 people will come to eat at the La Crosse Center in La Crosse, no charge. It's a community Thanksgiving dinner. Last year, they were in danger of having to cancel it because they didn't have enough volunteers. It was printed in the paper. The next day, they were overwhelmed with the number of people who wanted to participate because we see this as a real good for the community, and people want to join in for the common good.
We're talking to Tom Thibodeau from Viterbo University in La Crosse. He's spreading the word about servant leadership and encouraging leaders at all levels, from the president-elect on down, to try and practice it.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the ideas we've been hearing from our guests? Have you or your organization embraced servant leadership? Do you have questions about how to make it work for you? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation in just a few moments here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our conversation with Tom Thibodeau, distinguished professor of servant leadership at Viterbo University in La Crosse. And he's making the case that leaders should serve the people they work with, value their humanity, and bring them on board in decision making.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you seen servant leadership in action? Do you practice it yourself? Are there lessons here for our political leaders, business leaders, and others? Do you have questions about how this works? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers now. Tina is with us in Lake Geneva. Tina, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Tina?
I just wanted to say that years ago I worked for Cracker Barrel, and the founding CEO, who has since passed on, Dan Evans, that was his mantra for the company. It was actually an inverted pyramid where the hourly employees were on top, down to himself and the CEO that took over after him at the bottom, to the point where we were even invited to home office to help institute our ideas for best practices. And that was very much how they've had that success, in that they're one of the top family restaurants in the country.
Tina, I want to ask, did it feel different working in that job versus a more traditional top-down environment?
Absolutely. It was a joy to go to work. I remember even at the time that I worked there was during 9/11. It was actually 9/11 happened the day that we traveled to home office to be with them. And it was just an honor. It was enjoyable. It really was enjoyable. And it just gave you a sense of purpose at work to help others. And that was just from the management. And like I said, even from the CEO on down, you were made to feel important and valued.
Tina, thank you so much for sharing your experience. I appreciate that. Tom, that is one of the principles of servant leadership, is that everybody at every level is supposed to get some share of the power in making decisions.
Well, what happens is that level of engagement, all of us have different levels of responsibility. All of us have different levels of compensation, but everybody's work is significant. Next week in this country, we celebrate Thanksgiving. Why are we able to celebrate Thanksgiving? Look at all the hard work that farmers do on behalf of all of us. And yet only 1.5% of the American population works on farms. And look at the tremendous amount of work that they do and how all of us benefit from their work. We look at countless people who each and every day serves us. There's a possibility of snow in the next couple of weeks in La Crosse or any part of the state of Wisconsin. I'm able to travel safely because somebody's willing to get up at 3:00 in the morning, climb into a salt truck, make sure that the roads are cleaned and salted so that I can be safe. And you begin to recognize that all of our lives are predicated on the service of other people. And that's what happens in servant-led organizations. Starbucks is a servant-led organization. In the state of Wisconsin, you could look at People Power Electric, Festival Foods, Quick Trip Corporation, Johnsonville. All of them committed to serving the common good by serving the people who are entrusted to their care.
Tina, thanks for that call. We'll go next to Nate in Baraboo. Nate, hi.
Hi. I've been involved in leadership roles pretty much all my life. I'm an older guy now. I was leadership roles in education, principal, district administrator, all that kind of stuff. Now, the last 8 years, I've been working with a community volunteer group. I think the biggest challenge, you have to relearn. I found I had to relearn the whole style of leadership, from being more top-down to being bottom-up. And I'm just wondering if the professor has any good suggestions about where there's training programs on this. Does he do trainings, for community leadership roles around the state, or what did he tell us about how to get trained to do this?
Nate, thank you so much. Tom, what help is available, and maybe a bit of advice to help Nate get started?
Okay. We have our Masters in Servant Leadership. We offer a certificate with our Chamber of Commerce teaching servant leadership. We are bringing it into the high schools. I'm working with a small rural community, bringing people together. In a community of 700 people, in the last year, we've had 70 people go through servant leadership training. And it's changed the level of conversation. Why? Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. That's what Dr. Martin Luther King said. But where it starts with is what Nate just told us. He had to step back and think about how he needed to relearn. It comes with a heightened level of awareness. I look into myself and I say, what is it that I need to do differently so that I can better serve? And it starts right in our own home. And one of the things I would say to both of you is that please don't take anything that I have said seriously until you ask my wife, how's he doing? because there becomes the proof. And so it starts with looking within, and then you begin to build on those levels of skills, of awareness and intentionality, how to hold important conversations, ethical decision-making. What do we need to do in order to build community? There are skills that one can learn to do these kinds of things. How to create rituals and celebrations that build the culture of our workplaces. These are just some of the starting points.
Nate, thanks so much for that call and good luck. Tom, it seems like it'd be really easy to use servant leadership as a buzzword, pay lip service to it, and not really change anything fundamentally. Is that a risk?
It is. You hit it right on the head. If servant leadership is in my vocabulary, but it's not in my heart, I will do great damage.
We'll go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234 as we talk to Tom Thibodeau from Viterbo University about servant leadership. Jonathan is with us next in Bayview. Jonathan, hi.
Hi. I'm a mailman, so I work for the community. I kind of really enjoyed that. I used to work for a top-up company, and I just moved out of that because I felt like there was much more I could do to help, and it's really rewarding. But my comment is more, we see a lot of news stories that sensationalize all the violence going on, like with the Black Lives Movement. It's usually all the violent things going on, but we never see like the 1%, the news stories that are like 1% where they show, you know, the grandma cooking a community meal or anything like that. I think our country as a whole needs to get back to that and, you know, put our volunteers and community leaders first and really show them as the stars.
Jonathan, thanks for the call. A lot of ways we could go with that, Tom, but I think one idea, and I'm interested in this from the perspective of someone in the media myself, how can we in the media focus on the people doing good work and serving in their communities these ways and not, as Jonathan says, going right to the worst case?
Well, Rob, I just want to provide a little feedback and a compliment to you and Veronica. You do this each and every day. You hold a public conversation for the state of Wisconsin, and you do it thoughtfully, respectfully, graciously, and humbly. We all can learn to do this. And when we do, we turn our attention in that way, we begin to change our environment, the levels of appreciation that we can show for each person. In order to be in a healthy relationship with another human being, you need 5 comments of appreciation to every one of criticism. We can all learn to do this. And I think in terms of the media, we're seeing this more and more. In each newscast that I watch, it always ends with a story of hope and promise and courage that gets raised up for us.
Jonathan, thanks for the call. And Tom, thank you for the kind words, humbly. We'll go back to our callers. Nikki is on the line in Madison. Nikki, hi.
Hi.
Oh, what did you want to ask or tell us about, Nikki?
I just wanted to talk about how I think that a lot of people don't understand that public servitude can be addicting, and it's a good thing that it feels that way, because once you start being a public servant, it is really, really rewarding, and I am I got that taste and then decided to pursue it myself in a program called AmeriCorps Vista, which stands for Volunteers in Service to America. And I feel like if more people got a taste of public servitude, they would be more likely to engage in more.
Nikki, thank you so much. Tom, is she right? Providing service to our community can be positively addictive?
Exactly. I'll give you an example, maybe a little bit of a shout-out to my brother Mark, who retired after 33 and a half years as a district attorney of Adams County. He was a public servant for 33 and a half years. And as a district attorney, he dealt with all the cases, all the difficulty that the rest of us really, frankly, don't want to know about. And he did it with a commitment to justice. And he said this: the justice system only works if there are people in the system committed to justice. Did he serve the public good? Yes. Did he help make our system a little bit better? Yes. Because of his commitment, because of his virtue, because of his belief in the power of public service. And all of us, no matter where we are, have that ability to serve other people.
Tom, just a brief moment before we wrap up. Easy to see the divisions in society, easy to fall into cynicism. Are you optimistic that people are going to keep taking that first step to serve and get addicted to it and make a more hopeful future?
Well, I think so. I think that every time that we call upon the names of people that lift us up, what do we hear in those examples? Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, the Dalai Lama. And then when you begin to recognize that these are just ordinary people who have committed their life to goodness, you recognize this is possible. This is a democracy for which we all hold a level of responsibility. I am a steward of every institution that has served me and given me privilege, and therefore, how is it that I'm sharing this with the next generations? And I think this is an honorable way in which to live one's life.
We'll leave it there. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Robin and Veronica, for having me.
We've been talking to Tom Thibodeau. He's a distinguished professor of servant leadership at Viterbo University in La Crosse, where he's been for 30 years. He founded the nation's only master's program in servant leadership. Still time for you to share your stories. Have you worked in a servant leadership organization? Have you, like one of our callers, done some kind of work for the public, formally at a government level, as a volunteer, in your community, you name it? How did it make you feel? Did you get hooked on it? Are you trying to instill those values in your own kids, in the next generation? Tweet us at Central Time, WPR, if you can sum it up briefly, or share your thoughts and find some more information about servant leadership. You can do that over at the Central Time Facebook page.